Living below in this ocean world, I may afford what can afford. Sing it, everybody.
Striving along to faith and patience.
Oh,
yeah, do I go back to the Lord?
Everybody now.
Where do I go?
Everybody now.
Where do I go?
Oh,
seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end.
Hallelujah. Sing it loud.
Where do I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
Oh,
needing a friend to help me lift my head.
Oh,
where do I go?
Psalm 92. Somebody will help me read that. And Psalm 122. And John chapter 4. And many more scriptures. But you will write them down. But let's connect something. Psalm 92. Read one verse there. And please read it the way the Spirit will make us understand. Verse 13.
Psalm 92, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord.
Hear what you say. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord
shall flourish in the court of our God.
They will flourish where? They will flourish in the court. Not the court of law. In the compound of our God. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the court of our God. Psalm 122, verse 1.
122, verse 1.
Yes.
I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah. No, I want us to reason something out there. You know, there are some of these things we just gloss over. We don't go to the depth of those scriptures. And I pray that God will just help us understand it now. The emphasis there is the house of the Lord. That's the emphasis. The house of the Lord. Is it, sir? The emphasis is the house of the Lord. Now, church, let me tell you something. The house of the Lord is not this building. So, the psalmist says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Your mind is, I was glad when they said, let us go to church. It's not church. The house of the Lord is not this church building. Amen. That's why that discussion came up between the Lord Jesus Christ and the woman at the well. John chapter 4. Read it from verse 19. We all know the discussion there. John chapter 4.
Verse 19.
Yes.
The woman said unto him,
mm-hmm.
Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Uh-huh.
Our father worshipped in this mountain.
Yes.
And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.
That is the controversy. Remember, she was a Samaritan woman. There is a problem between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews don't see the Samaritans as proper Jews. because of the history of Samaria. They were strangers. Samaria belonged to the Jews. But something happened that brought strangers to occupy Samaria. And the Jews know who be Jew, proper Jew. And so, controversy about where to worship was existing between the Jews and the Samaritans. And this Samaria woman now, by the well, is talking with a Jew. And the argument, the common argument, is now on. The normal argument that takes place between the Jews and the Samaritans. He said, and that is in verse 20, our fathers worship in this mountain. Amen. And you say, you the Jews now, you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Next verse.
21. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Your worship ye know not what you know. What we worship for.
Now let me read that verse again. Let me read it. God bless you, be seated. Verse 21 says, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And brethren, that hour is now. That hour is now. He spoke to her again in verse 22. You, the Samaritans, you worship, you know not what. That is, you are worshiping what you don't even know. Hallelujah. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in Bright Assembly, Lagos, in choosing, in redeem, in deeper life, in Catholic. Where will they worship him? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. Somebody shout, God is a spirit. Say it again. Amen. God is a spirit. And them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the controversy is on. If you will neither worship God in this mountain nor in this temple, then where is God's chosen place of worship? Well, he said you worship him in spirit and in truth. Then we need to understand, what does he mean by that? Now, three things. First, in the Old Testament, hallelujah, in the Old Testament, when the children of God left Egypt, this is what he told them, where their worship will be accepted. Remember, it's not everywhere you worship God and it will be accepted. That is another very great controversy. The ignorance of this has generated so much controversy. That is why we have all manner of religions in the world. Every religion is supposedly worshiping God. Buildings have been consecrated, dedicated rather, to the worship of God, with all manner of shrines, with all manner of decorations. What are they doing there? They are supposedly worshiping God. But God does not accept worship everywhere. I just pray I'll be able to give this picture very well. God does not accept worship everywhere. God does not accept worship in Mecca.
There is no shrine in China, the Hindus in India. Oguru Maharaj for Ibadan Road.
Amen. Amen.
God does not accept worship in a mosque.
Praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? Because I want you to think very well.
God does not accept worship in, because you come to Ijesha here,
Pride Assembly Church. Because you came here, therefore my worship will be accepted.
No, sir!
Hallelujah.
No!
Deuteronomy. Let's go there. Chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Open, and if you forgot to bring your Bible, write it down. When you remember where your Bible is, they'll read it. Some people. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 12, hear what the Lord was saying from verse. From verse 1, let me just speak it from verse 1. He said, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire, and ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Go to verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. Where are you to bring them? In the place where God has chosen to place his name there. And in the wilderness, where he chose was where the tabernacle was built. And the ark of the Lord was put in the tabernacle. And as it was put there, the glory of God comes and covers the ark. And anytime it was time to worship God, wherever that ark was, wherever the tabernacle is, that is where the whole Israel will come and gather there. Not in your house. In the wilderness, you are to locate where the ark was. Moses was given the dimension of how to build the tabernacle and how to build the ark. What to be placed there. And as he did it according to the vision he saw, the glory of God came there. And when you are near that ark, you don't act anyhow. It was emphasized in chapter 16, Deuteronomy chapter 16. It says, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover, verse 1, unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd. We are in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Where he has chosen to place his name there. But after some time, it changed. David desired to build a house, a temple for God. God stopped him because he had shed too much of innocent blood. But chose Solomon to build that temple. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, and there are many stories, you know where the temple was built and dedicated. And when that temple was built,
They did not need the tabernacle anymore. God came down and placed his name there. He gave him the dimensions of how the temple will be built. And wherever the Jews were, all the worship, all the sacrifices, all their offerings, everything was done in that temple. If you do it anywhere else, it will not be acceptable by God. That was God's chosen place of worship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there's a statement in Matthew chapter 12 the Lord Jesus Christ made. And I like that. Matthew chapter 12. Hear what he was speaking concerning the controversy of the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read it so that I just catch a picture of that discussion from verse 1. Chapter 12 from verse 1. He said, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shoe bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. And you know how much they value the temple. The laws of Moses were kept strictly. He was challenging them. On Sabbath day, we enter, we are hungry. On Sabbath day, we went to farm to look for food to eat. Because there is a law that was given by God that on Sabbath day that nobody should go to farm. How come here your disciples, you went to farm? And you know we are hungry, that's why. And then he went further to say, now farm will they look because of the law. Don't you remember the story how that David was hungry with people that were around with him? And then the shoe bread that was kept there for sacrifice. Bread there for altar. Children of God, we are hungry. David said, they took the shoe bread and ate. And it was not counted to him for sin. We will explain that. Verse 5. Or, he's giving them another example. Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But, that is verse 6, is the statement I'm looking for. But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. The temple is where God has selected and placed his name there for all the children of Israel to come and worship. And a man is coming to say, standing here among you is one greater than that temple. He confused them further in John chapter 2. Can we read it? In John chapter 2, one verse there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We know the story of John. Let me just pick the story so that you also understand. The emphasis is the house of God. Where is God's chosen place of worship? When we get to know what is God's chosen place of worship, then we will end this exhortation and try to answer, how can you get to that place of worship? Then we will understand what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. Praise the Lord. From verse 13, John chapter 2. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords with koboko, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. That is, he went into the temple and they were doing bazaar. Who knows bazaar? If Jesus were here now, he will enter there and cane all of them. Anyway, verse 16. And said unto them that sold those, take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house had eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Now verse 19 is my emphasis. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He confused them. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building. It took them 46 years to build that temple. Remember, that is the Herod's temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. But through Ezra and Nehemiah, this second temple was built again and was completed in the days of Herod. They said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? Amen. Verse 21. But he spake of the temple of his body. What was he talking about? He spoke of the temple of his body. He was trying to let them know that him here, he is a temple. The house of God is called temple, where God has chosen to accept all worship. Is where he has chosen to place his name there. Malachi chapter 3. Let's open Malachi chapter 3. The last book in the Old Testament, for those who never read rich Malachi yet. Malachi chapter 3. There's a prophecy there in chapter 3 that we quote quite often. I'm taking it slowly so that we can reason together. Amen. Now it says, behold, it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is that messenger that was sent to prepare the way? Who? John the Baptist. That was his ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I read it again. Hallelujah. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And when he's preparing the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek, that is the God that you have been looking for, the one you have been serving, the one you have been worshipping, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3, where this prophecy was fulfilled. Matthew chapter 3. If you love Bible studies, shout amen. If you don't like Bible studies, say oh-ho. If you say, oh, you're a miserable Christian, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 13. John, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. That is, permit it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I've explained that verse 15 before. Then he suffered him, he permitted him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom, inside of him, in whom I am well pleased. The angel of the covenant, Malachi chapter 3, hallelujah, the messenger that he sent to prepare the way for his coming was John the Baptist. And while he was in the business of preparing the way for him, he said, and he shall suddenly come to his temple. The temple was no longer the temple in Jerusalem. It was a human being standing there that God was coming to dwell inside of him. The Spirit of God moved from the tabernacle into Solomon's temple. Now the Spirit of God moved now from Solomon's temple into a man. And from that day, the worship in the temple became irrelevant. From that day, if any Jew had any problem and you run to any temple looking for God, he has moved from the temple, he's now inside a man. That man became the house of God, the dwelling place of God. He became the tabernacle of God. From that day, if you are looking for God, don't go to any temple, go to that man. Okay. Praise the Lord. That is why the Bible says, he, Jesus Christ, is given a name that is above every other name. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. A name that is above every name in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. At the mention of that name, everything in heaven, on earth, will bow. That is the name of God. He took that name and placed it in a man. And shouted to the whole world, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. From that day, if you are going to do anything to be accepted by God, the only meeting place to meet with him now is in Christ Jesus. Any other place you try to do that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never meet with God. That's why Jesus said, boasted, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me, in John 14 verse 6. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The house of God. Identify the house of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrew chapter 10. Apostle Paul so revelated. Verse 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For it is not possible. Verse 4. I'm reading from verse 4. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats, that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Which body was prepared for the creator of the heavens and the earth? Which body was that? Which body was that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A In the Mount Transfiguration in Matthew 17 verse 5, the voice came from above again, shouted, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." Hear ye him. That is the final meeting point. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. In fact, Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. So Jesus was not an ordinary human being. Jesus was not an ordinary human being. I don't know how to make you see it. Jesus is not an ordinary human being. Don't look at that woman. Maybe the Jews could not accept him because who is this? Is he not the son of this carpenter? Is he not the son of this? No, your brothers be Jones, James, and the rest. That is why the God says he be temple of God, be son of God, say he be God. No! Isaiah prophesied that he shall be called Emmanuel. Who is Emmanuel? God with us. Hallelujah. He was not an ordinary human being. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, walking among men. Why? Because Colossians chapter 1 verse 19 says, it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ should be fullness. Fullness. His fullness dwell in him. Everything about God was in Christ Jesus. Everything. The fullness. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. He said, for in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So the Father is in him. The Son is there. The Holy Ghost is there. Anything you are looking for that pertaining to God, now him be that. The fullness. That is why Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He said God was manifested in the flesh. I'm quoting 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. He said, and without controversy, no argument, he said God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God was manifested in the flesh. Who is this Jesus we are serving? We are calling his name anyhow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19 says, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Hallelujah. The address of God. The address of God is in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why he says, in words, in deeds, whatever you do, the Bible says, do it in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18 says, through him, Jesus, we have access to the Father. Only through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Through him, Jesus, we have access. And that is why he says in John 14, verse 13 and 14, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it for you. Why? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I preached a message some time ago. Was it last year or so? When these youth people came to interview me for their magazine, and they asked me a question about music. I don't know who remembered that sermon. You remember that sermon? Wave your hand. Let me see you. You remember it. Thank you very much. And so many people today, because they don't know what Christianity is. Once I mentioned something, I said, it's not every music that you see people are singing that is gospel music. And I said, a Christian cannot listen to every music. Just because somebody is singing and is calling the name of Jesus, say, oh, that's Christian music. Just because somebody is singing and saying, hey, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and then you say, ah, he's quoting Bible, so that is Christian music. No. Amen. And even, I mentioned it after, and I'm still saying it today, that anything you will do for the gospel that unbelievers will clap hand for you, that thing has nothing to do with gospel. I have seen musicians, they call themselves gospel artists, and these worldly people will give them award. Best gospel artist of the year. Best, and I'm looking at them. Hallelujah. Concerning the things of the gospel, praise the Lord, the unbelievers can never clap their hands for you. Anytime they see you, they gnash their teeth or they repent. Your gospel is supposed to bring repentance. Your music is supposed to make somebody come to God and not to clap hands and say, ah, this is fine music. And I said, why do I say that it's not every Christian music that is sung out there that is a Christian music? I said, the reason is, hallelujah, hallelujah. The reason is, in words, in deeds, whatever we do, we are to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we say that we should do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not saying you should say in Jesus' name. No. No. Let me tell you why. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. Let's read it. Ephesians. Now. A lot of us serve a God we don't even know. Now, see what he said here. Chapter 6. Now, before we read chapter 6, let's go to chapter 1 first. Hallelujah. You see one prayer that Apostle Paul is singing, he's praying here, so that we understand something. It's important we catch the depth of Christianity. Verse 17, let me read it from verse 17. In his prayer, he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what? Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which is wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. We are far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, go to verse 6. Hallelujah. But let me read it from verse 4. But God, chapter 2, verse 4. I'm reading chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace he has saved. Now verse 6 is my emphasis. And has raised us up together and made us sit together. We are in heavenly places. We are in Christ Jesus. Now there's something I'm trying to bring out here. Every Christian is supposed to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Every one of us, we are supposed, unfortunately, even sitting down here, many of us are not yet there. But after this program, we shall be there. We are supposed to be seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it is only when you are now in Christ Jesus that anything you do will be accepted by God. That is, for your music to be acceptable as gospel music, it must be that you are in Christ singing that song. And you know them. You know they are not converted. They smoke their ganja and say, ja, 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 ja. They have beautiful, wonderful voices. Beautiful talent. But when you turn and look at who is singing, and you know today that the so-called Christian music that they are singing today, they are not Christian music. It's just sheer entertainment. And of course, that is Satan's own way of making caricature of Christianity. A man will stand with a ring and palm his hair. And what does he do? He's singing, oh, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. If he loves you, he will convert you. You need to watch some of these satellite stations beaming so-called Christian channels. And people are thinking that is Christianity. It's not. They've changed the psych. The psych. They've changed the psych of people to understand what true Christianity is all about. Brethren, no matter what you do to be acceptable by God, you have to do it only in Christ Jesus. Because that is the only acceptable place. That is the only acceptable place. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Psalm 137, the Jews were in captivity. And those Babylonians were busy taunting them. Sing us the songs of Zion. The Jews look at them. By the rivers of Babylon. Hallelujah. They shouted there, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The Lord's song is sung only in God's appointed place. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are outside of the temple of God, any worship you give will never be accepted. Now, if the temple of God is Jesus Christ, and that is the only place you can go there to have your worship accepted by God, then how can we get into this temple? And that is the whole purpose of this program. You must be born again. You must be born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13 is the key. Hallelujah. You have to be part of the family of God. You have to. And I say something. You cannot join the family of God. No. Praise God. I always ask this question. You cannot be a Christian by joining a church. You cannot become a Christian by making a decision to become good. No, Christianity is not about being good. No, have decided I will not steal again, I will not fornicate again. Therefore, in the church I'm going to go now. And the pastor will tell you that they say after me from today, I give my life to Christ. From today, I'm born again. They say, I'm born again. Did you say it? You say, you see, you're born again. Just try to learn to speak in tongues. Don't be speaking heavenly language. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. They have confused people. Confused people. People no longer know what true Christianity is. He says, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by one spirit are we baptized into the body of Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. For the purpose of those who have not heard me say this before, can somebody give somebody a microphone there? Are you with microphone coordinator? Who is with microphone? Give anybody here so that you understand what we're talking about. How are you a Christian? It's not by joining. It's not a decision. Somebody there. Anybody there. Anybody. Anybody there. Give somebody microphone to stand up there. God will help your man stand up. Thank you. Because I know you talk very loud. They will hear you. What's your father's name?
Obioma, sir.
Obioma. From where you come before you come to earth, did you decide to come through Obioma?
Not at all. I don't even know.
If you say you know, if you don't come.
Not at all.
If you say I know, and they gave me choice to appear, where will I appear? In Queen's Palace.
Yes, of course. No.
Queen's Palace, so that I will be a prince of the Queen of England. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, hallelujah.
Amen.
Your father's name is Obioma.
Yes, sir.
And every Christian, your father's name is Christ. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Your father's name is Christ. Jesus Christ is your father's name. If it's your father's name, can I see your hand up? That's why they call us Christians. Your family name is who? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 15 says the family in heaven and earth is named after him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are named after him. So I am Moses, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are Godwin, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now listen. Now, your father's name and your family name is Obioma.
Yes, sir.
All your brothers, they are Obioma.
Yes, sir.
All your brothers. Now, how did you become Obioma?
Become
Obioma. How did you come into that family?
Sir, because it was the one that gave birth, pregnant.
You were born into that family.
Yes, sir.
Did you join that family?
No.
You were born into that family.
Yes, sir.
Because you were born into that family, you become an Obioma.
Yes, sir.
That is the only way you can become an Obioma.
Yes, sir.
If anybody come and stay with you, can he be an Obioma?
No. He's a visitor.
Can he inherit your father's property?
No.
Why? He's not Obioma.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it is with Christianity. You can only be a Christian by the new birth. You are born by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. That's why I quoted 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one spirit are we baptized into the body. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become a Christian. You are not a Christian until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brings you into Christ, the temple of God. And when you are there, life becomes easy. Because the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And where Christ is seated is far above principalities and powers, far above witches and wizards, far above occultic places, far above satanic forces. Too far. And my Bible tells me Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And that is where I am seated too. That's why he calls us the apple of his eyes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 12. He said, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave him what? Power to become what? The sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Now, intellectuals, we read this scripture and just stop at that. As many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. And somebody will now come. Did you read that? Have you received him? Yes. You are now a son of God. You see? So, thought, and now, and they begin to preach faith for you and confuse people. There are so many people today that believe they are Christians, and in actual sense, they don't even know anything about Christianity. They deceive you that you speak in tongues, therefore you have the Holy Ghost. It's wrong. Many people don't even know what the Holy Ghost is and what it is not. And people are going to church and believing that if Christ comes tomorrow, they will go. Just like somebody is thinking that is confessing everywhere. Next week, next year, I'm going to America. If you can say it and you believe it, you will go to America. Keep saying it and believe it, and you go to America. Every day, wake up in the morning. And this year, I'm going to America. Next year, I'm going to America. It's December now. Next year, I go to America. January don't come. This year, I'm going to America. I confess it with my mouth. I believe it with my heart. I will be in America. Go now, Mekuzi. Go now. If you are sure you will go to America, it is expected that you know what are the requirements to enter America. Therefore, you are sure because you are working towards getting your visa. That's why. Or you are sure you have collected your visa. Brethren, you can never go in the rapture without the Holy Ghost. So if anybody say, if I die today, I will go to heaven, it means you are sure you have received the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the ticket to go to heaven. He says, as many as receive him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. What is the power to make you a son of God? It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that will change you from a sinner to a saint. Until you are changed from a sinner to a saint, you cannot say you are a child of God. Because sinners are abomination before God. So if he has given you power to become the son of God, it means he has given you power of transformation. Oh, somebody does not understand. He has given us power to become the sons of God. The power he has given us is the power of transformation. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The power that will change you from your sinful nature that separated you from God and change you to a saint acceptable before God is the power of the Holy Ghost. God coming to dwell inside of you and cause you to live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the difference between law and grace. That is why Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that works in you. Philippians 2:13. It is God that works in you to cause you both to will. The will to do something is God that pushes you, and to do of his good pleasure is God that pushes you. Why? Because if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Apostle Paul said, the life that I live now is no longer I that liveth, but who? Christ that liveth in me. That is the rest that God gives the Christians. So you want to be a Christian, you must be in Christ. And to be in Christ is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the meaning of being born again. To be born again is to receive the power of transformation. The new birth is changing you from your old nature to a new nature. And when you are born again, then you can see the kingdom. Then you can understand the things of the kingdom. Then you're in position to receive revelation and receive instructions in righteousness by the Spirit of God. The things you are supposed not to do, He will lead you. He will correct you. He will. That is why the most important sermon in the Bible is the sermon of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you are just empty bonko waiting. Just religious person. He told that woman, you are worshipping a God you don't even know. Because God is looking for people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. And He's the Spirit of truth. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Please, if you want to go to heaven, continue with us in this program until we finish. Continue with us. From tomorrow, I will take a teaching on the Holy Ghost. So that we know what it is and what it is not. And on Friday, we will lay hands. Something, because I said the Holy Ghost is practical. A song that says, come and go with me to my Father's house. Father's house is not church. It's not bride assembly. It's Christ. Now, once the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, you become the temple of God. You become God's tabernacle. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you catch that revelation, now you understand that this building is a place dedicated as a church. A church is God's dwelling place. And God's dwelling place is you and me. When we come together like this, we become church. That's why He says, we are two or three are gathered in my name. Gathered in my name. Two or three gathering in my name. I am there with them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you want the Holy Ghost, can I see your hand up? Put down your hand. If you desire Him, if you desire to go to heaven, you must desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And He has assured us. Evangelist Ake quoted that day before yesterday. Who will help us read it? Luke chapter 11. Read it for us from verse 8 or so. Will help us read it.
Praise the Lord. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, to he will rise and give him as many as he needed.
Now, the next verse.
And I say unto you, yes. Ask, and it shall be given unto you.
He said what? Ask. Now, and it shall be given to you. Let me tell you something. That scripture there, from where you're reading now, is not talking about ask for car and it will be given to you. Ask for house and it shall be given to you. What he was teaching there is not material things. What he was teaching there, read on.
Seek and you shall find.
He said, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, look for, and you will find.
Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Knock the doors of heaven, it shall be opened unto you. Yes?
For everyone that asketh, receiveth.
Yes?
And he that seeketh, findeth.
Yes?
And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Yes?
If a son shall ask bread of...
Assurance that if you ask from God, he will give you. If a son shall ask bread...
of any of you that is a father.
Yes?
Will he give him a stone?
Answer now. Your pikin wants food. Will you pack gravel and give him to eat?
If he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?
Yes.
12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil.
Verse 13. Hear him very well.
If you then being evil.
He said, as wicked as human beings are,
know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
How much more? The assurance. When this ministry started, that was my scripture. The reason we had to challenge God. That's the reason we had to challenge God. If we know how to give good things to our children, how much more will our heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that asketh him? The assurance that if you ask for the Holy Ghost, he will not give you a familiar spirit. If you ask him for the Holy Ghost, he will not give you another spirit. That is the assurance we have. And I say something, that one prayer that God answers quickly for his children is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the easiest thing to receive from God. The reason is, that is the only reason why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. But so many people, they put that as secondary. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have everything of God. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have everything of God. I pray somebody will see the importance of the Holy Ghost and not just look at the benefit. Because when we come like this, God is going to give us so much testimonies to confirm the power of the Holy Ghost. The power for salvation. The power for healing. Deliverance. The power for restoration. Revival. He will be coming here to confirm this. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. May he not pass you by. Can we stand up? While on others thou art calling, do not pass. Let's stand up. Our Christianity is sweet. You cease from struggling with the flesh. You are still struggling with fornication. I receive a lot of texts. Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I still find myself. I'm still fornicating. I always reply. I said, it's not prayer you need. You need the Holy Ghost. It's evidence you have not received the Holy Ghost. Because when he comes in you, he breaks the power of sin. He breaks it. Hallelujah. But above all, the need to go to heaven should propel you to desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost.